All right, good morning or good afternoon, wherever you may be located and where you're listening from. I'm Rick Woodham with Tagit, and welcome to another installment of our Digital Game Changer series. For those of you that this is your first time to join us, welcome. You know, the pace of change and innovation in digital banking today is definitely not slowing and really continues its acceleration and permutation into how banks really interact with their customers. Sometimes it's a bit challenging to know where to focus your priorities. This series by Tagit is designed to provide additional views and data points for you as you navigate your way through the changing landscape. At Tagit, we work with banks to help them define priorities and implement digital solutions that are pillars with our customers today. In today's session, we are joined by Chris Chan, CIO at Thai Credit Retail Bank. Thai Credit Retail Bank is a Bangkok-based bank that offers banking and financial services, especially in the microfinance space to small and medium enterprises and other small traders, right? It fills a gap in the market here in Thailand, focused in that microfinance and underserviced area. So I've known Chris for quite a few years in several roles that Chris has had over the years. Chris has a very firm foundation on technology and the impact of digital banking to customers, especially in the Thai market. So thanks, Chris, for joining us. So let's get started.
Morning, Rick. Thanks for having me and share notes around and how the industry is moving along the digitization.
Yeah, so looking forward to a little bit of a chat with you, Chris. Kind of catch up after the new year and get your views on a few things. So let me start. So what do you think is probably some of the most significant changes in the way banks in Thailand are approaching digital capabilities today and especially over the last maybe year or two, right? Because there's been quite a bit of activity in the Thai market from the banks and their digital initiatives. So what do you think are some of the most significant changes that you've seen?
Two areas I observed the banks are putting a lot of focus and effort. One is to how to get the service and products to the customer in the digital world, okay? With less dependency on brick and mortar model. So because I think we all observe COVID is actually a catalyst. Okay, how do we provide service without the need of a physical contact? That's one. The second the observation is, I think there was a message from, if I recall correctly, a seminar from Bank of Thailand, the emphasis of collaboration. So banks are moving forward to how to open up themselves to partnership with partners to fulfill the ecosystem. So that's two areas I observe the effort the banks are focusing on.
You know, Chris, one of the areas where there's been so much improvement in the Thai market, and I take great pride in this actually, because of my previous career, being able to have some influence in this. But you know, payments capabilities in Thailand have significantly improved over the last 12, 18 months. And you know, what I can do as a consumer today is pretty amazing, right? So do you believe that this is helping drive digital adoption sort of even outside the major metropolitan areas? And what other initiatives do you think banks will consider to drive that digital adoption?
I think, it's natural, right? The pandemic forces the use of technology to force of payment to the digital world. So like yourself, myself, you can look back for the past 12, 18 months, the change of our behavior. Like we order food, we order groceries, and through Lazada, Shopee, those are use cases, real life use cases that drive adoption. So there's a natural demand driven to the success of that solution.
So, you know, I'm sitting in a very small town in a very small province up country at the moment in Thailand. And I'm amazed even now here, no matter where I go, even the small mom and pop shops where my wife and I like to eat, I have no issues paying with QR code with my phone, right? So it doesn't matter whether it's a small mom and pop shop where I eat or the large global house where I buy supplies. All of them have enabled these QR code payments. And it's just amazing to me how much that has permeated the culture here.
great to share with you the QR code that we put on in front of the merchants. We have a study, I think is about like two and a half years ago, like before, right before we launched the e-wallet. So we are uncertain, okay, how would, because we also get the feedback and we were also at the market, we're also seeing the QR codes, we just sit there and nobody using it. What's using it? So we are quite concerned. Does it really work? But I think like back to the trigger point again, the pandemic change, flip the things over. I still remember soon after COVID, while people are going back to on the streets, the merchant asked, okay, please scan. And also customers as well. They ask, hey, do you have a code to scan? So that's become like the flip the game over. Like just one incident changed everything.
You know, I remember pre-pandemic being in, I won't mention the country, but I was at a coffee shop in this country and they had just started using QR code payments for a couple of the local wallet providers. And so I asked the lady who was giving me my coffee, right? She was ringing up the register and I said, listen, I mean, I can't pay with a QR code because I don't have a local wallet, but let me ask you something. If I pay with my QR code using my wallet, how do you actually know that you've gotten paid? She said, well, I get an SMS message on this feature phone that she showed me, right? And I said, well, you know, sometimes SMS is not terribly reliable. What if you don't get the SMS while I'm standing here? She said, well, I don't give you your coffee. I said, well, okay, right. So one of the things we discovered here in Thailand is that many of the larger retailers have now integrated the QR code payment system in Thailand into their point of sale systems. So the transactions just happen automatically, right? There's no additional validation required. And again, it's really transforming, I think, how we look at doing payments today.
I think the convenience and efficiency win over the potential loss. Right. I think merchants are willing to compensate that compromise that in exchange of convenience. Yeah.
Well, it is funny because every time we leave the house now and we want to go eat, my wife says, so do you have any money? And I go, well, no, but I've got a phone, so I'm good to go, right?
Right. You can leave your wallet, but you can't leave your phone.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, listen, sort of changing topics a little bit, because, you know, this payments capabilities are really driven a number of initiatives with some of the major banks here. So several of the major banks here have actually launched subsidiaries, digital subsidiaries, or even technology subsidiaries focused on digital initiatives, such as some of the AI, blockchain, and other things, right? So do you believe that these initiatives will actually produce value and impact to digital capabilities in Thailand?
That could be multiple agendas behind the structure, but I can see one significant benefit, like to be able to operate outside of the big organization, but you'll be much more flexible, do things like with less hierarchical, talk to your partners. I'll see freedom and flexibility. So that will be additional drive to like drive innovation, that you have more freedom to like without like going through up the layers and levels in the big organization. So I think that's a positive setup.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, not getting caught up in the bank's existing operational mandates and challenges certainly would provide a bit of freedom for these subsidiaries to explore technology without a heavy regulatory influence as well, right? And I think maybe they will also do a pretty good job of promoting partnerships across the banking ecosystems, right? But what I'm sort of wondering is, you know, as these subsidiaries are really starting to mine some of the work that they're doing, how much of that these banks will make available to, say, some of the smaller banks like TCRB and others to be able to leverage that across the Thailand banking system, not just the bank that launched the subsidiary, right?
So, well, you mentioned that I think the benefit of that setup, if that capability sits outside the bank, So the possibility of sharing the technology is wider because it's not sharing the capability amongst competitors. It's a separate entity. It's purely technology capability that can share amongst even within banking, financial industry, or not.
I'm really curious to see where it goes.
Yeah.
Really curious to see where it goes. So Chris, how does this then sort of relate back to what you guys are doing at your bank, right? So what are some of your major areas of digital focus over the next year or two?
Similar to the open statement, we are similar to the bigger players. We have ambitious to try new segments, launching new products via the digital channel. So we are still like other players, we try to get our product reaching the customer without face-to-face as least as possible.
Yeah.
And also, open banking is our belief is a natural expanding, adding values of all parties, the banks, the partners, and the end consumers. That's complete the ecosystem. So there's a very natural project. That we should strive,
So you've mentioned a few times previously in our conversation already about the influence of the COVID pandemic, right? So how much of that has accelerated the work that you guys are doing? Has it had a real impact? I mean, have you accelerated some of your digital initiatives? Have you increased your budget around digital? I mean, generally, how has COVID really impacted the bank?
I would say it's a reaffirmation of what we believe.
Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't really change much of what we have been planning because our footprint is not big. Okay.
Right.
Our starting point is actually aiming for that digital operation, digital capability. So that is very much in mind and also reassuring that model will work.
Yeah.
And it actually fits the market.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you there are some banks who probably we're not thinking so much in the future prior to the pandemic and caught themselves a little bit off guard when it came to digital, and they've had to scramble a bit because one of the things we have seen across the industry is that exactly what you guys have seen is that trying to understand the customer interactions outside of the traditional branch environment is really becoming quite key, and I think that's just a change in the way we would deal with it.
The target and the goal and the vision doesn't change, but the biggest challenge I think I share with you, Ricky, is the resource. Okay, we do face challenge of getting sufficient resource to keep us moving ahead. So we are still fighting hard to get us to there.
Yeah, that's probably a common problem, but not just for you guys, right? So.
Yep.
So listen, here's sort of the last question and the $1 million question for you, right? So what do you think the outlook for digital looks like? Both, I'll ask it from two perspectives. One, what do you think the digital outlook looks like for Thailand over the next few years? And even at a higher level, what do you think the trends will be based on what you're seeing? And one of the areas, and I mentioned this, I think, in some of our pre-dialogue, is that how much of this digital work over the next few years, do you think will be influenced by banks looking at modernizing their underlying core systems? So, the rise of companies like Mambu with their next generation core banking, that kind of thing. Because if you look across Thailand, many of the banks here are still using quite dated technology on their back-end systems. And they've done a lot to insulate it through integration and that kind of thing. But there's still a lot of legacy technology floating around. So kind of what is your outlook of digital over Thailand, and how much of that do you think is influenced by some of these items?
The exciting and optimistic feeling that I have at this moment is through the pandemic, I observed the creativity of the Thai people. Okay. You can see from very simple step on and the alcohol gel will just come out. The robots, very creative minds from the Thai. So that is a good driver for digitization. So by nature, the creativity will drive whatever industry, food ordering, e-shopping, financial service. And I am sure there will be a lot of good initiative along the line, like be it directly related to financial service or other ecosystems.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like listen, that's actually a really interesting point. I was telling someone a day or two back that I was checking my account with my mobile communications provider here in Thailand and did not realize, but I've been a customer for 17 years and 8 months. And so I've been here a long time already, and the time has just really flown by. But, you know, one of the statements you just made is quite interesting and quite true. The Thai culture is very creative in their approach to how they look at almost everything, right? And digital is no exception to that.
So I think that the key point is how can we align the creativity and the technology resource to make these things happen.
Yep.
I think the good thing, like in the past, we see quite successful implementation, like through the pandemic, very direct to the healthcare, all these systems more prompt. Yes, it was a bit like bumpy in the past, but I think along the way it served the purpose.
Yep.
That's digital evolve. I'm fairly optimistic there will be like many good stories come.
Yeah. Well, you know, Chris, your bank is in a very interesting position from a market perspective because there's a lot of activity happening in the microfinance space today. As organizations are looking for new sources of funding and banks are trying to really be able to react. One of the things that we talk about a bit is that a lot of these micro SME customers, and Thailand has a lot of those, right, are really looking for that perfect blend of a retail experience when it comes to digital, but also the access to resources that the bank might traditionally offer the larger SMEs. So I think you're in a great space for learning how to apply this creativity.
We have many, many opportunities, and also we have the luxury of having our team, our staff members, to be very close with our customers. They are at the markets. Yeah. They know their needs. So there's a lot of good input that we can leverage and it's our opportunities to serve them better.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, listen, that's really what I've got for you today. I really appreciate the time that you spent with us today.
Yeah, and I haven't addressed the second question yet.
Rick. Oh, fire away, Chris.
Yeah, talked about the legacy core. I would say yes and no, and be very cautious about like taking that decision. We must really understand the other area. Like two things, current pain points, right, and the future needs. Okay, how much gap do we have, or is it sustainable? Okay, if yes, if you're comfortable, I would say stay put. Okay, but not okay. If your legacy is really giving you a lot of trouble, you cannot maintain. It's just so much change that you cannot recognize what it is. So yes, because there are a lot of good products out there. My suggestion is to see if you can run a parallel approach while you keep your legacy stable, and then you try on a digital core with new products, and then give yourself some time through the transition and migration. So that would be.
You know, Chris, you and I have had a few conversations over the years about core banking being a commodity, and I think that we have really gotten to the place now where that is almost completely true, and digital has driven that, right? Because in many cases, the differentiation between banks is really what happens at that digital engagement layer. Now, it's very key that these core systems can support the right kind of products and mixes and all that. But the reality is that it truly is a commodity. And I think one of the things that will drive some of this core modernization is cost. Think about some of your past experiences, right? The cost associated with running large mainframe-based core banking systems, and I'm not anti-mainframe by any stretch of the imagination. That's a lot of money to spend, right? And there are now alternatives in that space that can provide you similar commodity type of features at a much different type of cost structure, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. It's actually one of the factor you should, I think, as a banking service provider, we should consider the cost effectiveness of the core as well. So I think they will potentially a natural drive for the product owner. If they are losing competitiveness, I think, is there a negotiating ground that we can like find a way for those that doesn't really need to make a technical replacement? Yep. It's just a cost. I think that there could be like ways in between that can work things out.
Yep, I agree. And the cloud will help. The cloud initiatives will help some of this as well.
Yep.
Well, good. Well, Chris, again, very enlightening. Always a bit of a fun catching up with you a little bit. So I wish you a happy new year and hope you guys have a great 2022 at the bank.
Thank you, Rick. Same to you and your family and your team as well.
You bet. Thanks, Chris.
Have a great one.